GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump talked with U.S. lawmakers today concerned about those tariffs. He agreed to a one-month exemption on auto imports from Canada and Mexico. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze says stocks rebounded today, but there's a lot of what-ifs.
It doesn't mean that the rest of the tariffs at this point aren't moving forward. So there is still a lot of uncertainty in the stock market and a lot of uncertainties for American businesses as they're trying to plan about what does this look like for them if we do move forward with those tariffs. And keep in mind that the White House has reiterated that it still does plan to move forward with reciprocal tariffs on April 2nd. And that would be a pretty dramatic change in cost for a lot of businesses.
Lawmakers are offering condolences after the sudden passing of Democratic Congressman Sylvester Turner of Texas. He was 70 years old. Christians are marking Ash Wednesday today, the start of Lent. In Rome, Pope Francis sent a message of hope. He's still hospitalized, battling pneumonia. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Ahead of President Donald Trump's address to Congress last night, about 500 protesters gathered in Houdini Plaza in Appleton to protest policies enacted by the new administration and to support the Ukraine, the LGBTQ plus community, and women's rights. The protest was organized by the Appleton Area NOW and Indivisible Fox Valley, Wisconsin. Many protesters carried signs expressing thoughts about abortion, support for the LGBTQ community, support for the Ukraine, and dissent over cuts and decisions made in the first months of the Trump administration. There were many other protests throughout the state and country yesterday as part of the March 4th movement. Civic Media's Derek Tritz reports on one.
Passionate Central Wisconsinites took part in one of over 900 protests across the nation on Tuesday to advocate against the Trump administration's goal of gutting the Department of Education. Students, faculty, teachers, and parents marched holding signs in support of teachers and funding public education. Leading the charge was co-president of the Stevens Point Area Representative Council, Elizabeth Felt.
Public education needs to be funded in order for it to work, and right now we're just barely surviving with the funding we have. To cut even more is catastrophic.
The Department of Education is responsible for about 8% of direct funding for elementary and secondary schools in the U.S., but has historically operated to help fill gaps where state and local funding hasn't been enough. Currently, the Department of Education is here to stay without the congressional approval to dismantle it, and with a slim Republican majority, that isn't likely to happen. However, President Trump has not backed down from the idea of abolishing it.
I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
The Bucks with a win in Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Hawks 127-121. Atlanta had the lead midway through the game. Doc Rivers asked about what he didn't like about the Bucks defense in the first half.
I just thought they got in transition early. They made two or three threes off our missed layups. So second half, I thought we were way better. First half, I didn't think. We showed a video at halftime where first three steps we were jogging, they were running by us. Second half, we didn't do that, and we took that away from them.
College hoops. It's the Badgers at Minnesota tonight in the border battle. Marquette on the road at UConn. The Packers re-signing their free agents. First, it was linebacker Isaiah McDuffie. Now, kicker Brandon McManus gets a three-year deal worth $15 million, $5 million guaranteed.
You know, I'm happy that it's in the past now. I was hoping and working hard for another opportunity. I'm extremely grateful for the Green Bay Packers for giving me that next chance to come back out here and play the game I love.
That's kicker Brandon McManus with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Snow showers this evening and breezy, then a clearing sky with the wind dying down overnight. A low in the low 20s. For tomorrow, sunshine returns. A high right around 40. On Friday, mid-30s, mostly cloudy, few flurries.
It's 28 degrees right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time on The Serious Side. We'll talk about the 80,000 cuts proposed to the Department of Veterans Affairs and on what's worse, the Olio edition. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2. From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always looks ahead, even when parallel parking, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're staying safe out there. What a crazy March day here in Wisconsin, at least in the northeastern part of the state. We got hit with snow and sleet and slush, and it's just really ugly outside. I guess it's happening all over northeast Wisconsin, or all over northern Wisconsin for that matter. Hope you're staying safe wherever you are, and hope that you're staying warm. And to think that daylight savings is only like 3 days away and we're getting weather like this. Crazy. But let's enjoy it. Let's stay inside and stay warm and listen to the radio and talk about the business we call show. And we're going to talk a little wrestling tonight, because let's be honest, that's showbiz too. So I got a really fun show for you guys tonight, on a night where we need the radio. It's cold. It's snowy. Conrad, how are you?
Yeah, it's not that great downtown right now in Green Bay.
Really?
It's disgusting out there. It's gross out there.
I didn't want to get in the car. It was horrible. You can't be driving in this.
Yeah.
So we'll cheer people up tonight. This is an escape from 6 to 8. We're going to have some laughs. We're going to have some, we're going to talk a little TV and movies. And as I mentioned, some wrestling. At 6:35, Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is here. He writes about entertainment very well. At the Journal Sentinel, does a great job. And we will talk to Chris about, well, a lot of things. He's got some great articles. He's going to talk about what's coming out this weekend. There's a couple sci-fi films coming out. We'll see how they do. But we'll talk about that with Chris. We're going to talk about a big sport event in Milwaukee that's been going on for 84 years. We'll talk about that with Chris as well and maybe get his take on the Oscars too. And then at 7:20, our friend Rich, there is some concern over his name. And I'm going to let you go first, Conrad. I know it because I corrected you last night.
Locasio.
Correct, yeah. My friend. Rich will be here tonight. There's some big news in wrestling, and we're going to let Rich break it here on Nightlight tonight. It's going to be fun. You may have already heard it if you're a huge wrestling fan. I'm not a huge wrestling fan, but I know many of you are. So Rich will bring the news to the people at 7:20 tonight. So there you go. Chris Foran, Rich Locasio. It's snowing outside. Pop some popcorn, folks. Gather the family around the old radio and let's have some fun. Today is Ash Wednesday, Conrad. How did you celebrate?
I didn't do much today besides work. So, but yeah, that's
you're not
how I celebrated.
Catholic anyway, are you?
I am not.
I haven't gotten ashes in a few years. I grew up Catholic, 16 years of Catholic school, 16 years. That is grade school, high school, and college. I went to a Catholic university because I couldn't get enough of it in high school or grade school. But I did get ashes for years. if it was convenient for me, I know that's a pretty lame excuse to my fellow Catholics, I would still get ashes, but I just did not get out to do it today. It is Ash Wednesday, though, folks. So happy Ash Wednesday to all of you who are celebrating today and getting ashes and giving up something for Lent. Let's be honest. That was the big thing when we were kids. Now, the Catholics typically are not supposed to eat meat on Fridays during Lent. Let me know if you'll honor that, folks. And there's no judgment. I don't think it makes you a good or bad Catholic if you eat meat on Friday. In my opinion, it's a silly rule, but all churches, all religions have their rules, or there are things that we're not supposed to do. I had a friend when I was a kid whose mom started making a chicken on Ash Wednesday. I'm sorry, on one of the Fridays in Lent. Caught herself and threw it out because it was a sin. In my opinion, it's a bigger sin throwing out a chicken. But everybody feels differently. And I'm not here to judge. I truly celebrate all of your beliefs. So tell me your thoughts on Lent if you're Catholic. The phone lines are open, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. But that does lead us, Ash Wednesday, to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
All right, whether or not you're Catholic, what do you wish you could give up for 40 days? That's the length of Lent for my fellow Catholics. What will you give up? Whether you're Catholic or not, the question is simply, what do you wish you could give up for 40 days? Thoughts, Conrad?
I think, I mean, I could definitely do without meat for one for Friday because I love fish. So I could definitely eat fish on Fridays.
But you're supposed to kind of sacrifice, you know, it's supposed to be kind of a challenge. Like when you're Minnesota,
okay.
I have a friend who gives up booze every year. With you, it might be like, you know, watching sports highlights, something, you know?
I couldn't do that. I think it would be just giving up the sweet tooth that I have.
Sweets. Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I've already given up booze. I kind of don't really do carbs. I'm kind of running out of things to give up. Maybe I'll do what Bart Simpson suggested and take up smoking and then give that up. Homer would compliment me and say, good for you, son. Smoking is one of the hardest things you'll ever have to quit. I think I'm going to say I don't want to pass the buck here because I do want to give an answer. So I think what I'm going to say is I am not going. You know what I'd love to give up? And I don't know if I'm going to commit to this yet. Instagram.
Okay.
I'm not even active on Instagram, but the reels they have are so addicting. You just sit there and scroll. Do you not have that problem?
Not on Instagram. I go on TikTok.
TikTok's the same thing.
Yeah,
you just keep scrolling and scrolling, and before you know it, it's an hour of your life, and you're looking. And the worst part is when you're scrolling and you come to the same video you started this whole excursion with. But that's not good enough. I need to give up something better than that. So I think what I will try to do is to be nice to everybody I come in contact with.
Oh, that's going to be hard.
It is hard, and people that... it is hard. There are times I avoid people, and I don't want to do that. I want to try to bring some joy to people's days. I want to smile, make them laugh, talk if they're my neighbors. I like to do that. I don't know if they always want to talk to me, but maybe that's what I'll do for Lent. Or I could try to go to church every Sunday. I don't know. I haven't done that in a while. But what do you think, folks? Would love to hear from you. What do you wish you could give up for 40 days? If you're Catholic, you can call it Lent. But otherwise, the question is kind of standalone. What would you give up for 40 days? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You could try to give up the old SEX like Josh Hartnett did in 40 days, or 40 nights, was it called? He tried to give up sex. I couldn't even... It was such a bad comedy. It was like in the early 2000s. I think I started it, and I couldn't even do it. I couldn't even get through it. Great to have you with me tonight. It is Ash Wednesday. It is also, I don't know if you saw this, Con, it's Cheese Doodle Day. National Cheese Doodle Day.
Yeah.
You might laugh, but about 20 years ago, when I was still a better practicing Catholic, I couldn't get ashes. So I grabbed some cheese doodles, crushed them up, and used the cheese doodle dust to give myself ashes.
There you go.
Went in a pinch. It's just nice that they share this day. National Cheese Doodle Day, Ash Wednesday, National Multiple Personality Day. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Shut up. No.
That's National
Multiple Personality Day.
The Mask. There we go. That's a movie that we could talk with Multiple Personality Day. Wait, Jim Carrey.
Was that The Mask? Oh, he put on the mask and he became someone different, right?
Yeah, yep.
But did he have multiple personalities?
Yeah, because he was a totally different person when he was in The Mask. When he wasn't, he was kind of timid.
Yeah, okay. Was that a good movie? Honestly, I saw it once years ago, and I don't know. I mean, maybe it's great. It never stuck with me, you know?
I love Jim Carrey movies, so yeah. It's still a really funny movie, but yeah, I don't think it got good reviews.
I'm sure he's funny in it.
Yes.
So that's our question tonight, folks. What would you give up for 40 days? 855-752-4842, or you can text us on the app. Super easy to use. Conrad, how can people watch the radio tonight?
Yeah, so if you go on Facebook, we're under WGBW, WISS, or Nightlight with Beach Chihuahua. If you go on YouTube, Civic Media, or WGBW. And on Twitter, it is Civic Media, or WGBW.
Very easy to do. Kind of a cool thing happened. A few months ago, we had Mike Cheslick on the show. He's a director, made a film called Hundreds of Beavers. If you have not seen Hundreds of Beavers, do everything in your power to check it out, folks. It's a black and white silent film about a fur trader who is tormented by hundreds of beavers. And the guys that made it are from Wisconsin. It just passed the $1 million mark at the box office for a film that costs like between $100,000 and $200,000 to make, which still sounds like a lot of money, but that's hard to make back. And these guys did it. Mike was the director, and I think co-wrote it with Rylan Brixen Hughes, his writing partner. I'll have to look that up. I'm sure I got Rylan's name right. Rylan could not be on the show when Mike was on, but Mike was a great guest. We should try to book him back and see if we can find out what it's like having $1 million box office hit. That's pretty cool. And years ago, you know, if you made your money back, broke even, whatever, but this is going into, well, not Blair Witch category, but for a little comedy like this, that's a silent film, to do what this film was doing, it's really incredible. So if you have not seen Hundreds of Beavers, it is well worth a watch. It's like an hour and 20 minutes, really fun, moves fast, and you won't be disappointed. If you are disappointed, Conrad will give you your money back. It's that simple.
I don't know about that.
Come on, you got the money. Rylan Brixen Hughes is the lead actor. He plays Jean Kayak for Trader. And Rylan is very good at physical comedy. And Mike Cheslick is the director. We'll see if we can get those guys back on. And I think they co-wrote it, if I'm not mistaken. So we've got a lot to talk about, folks. How can you not on National Cheese Doodle Day? We'll come back. I'll read your texts. We'll talk about Alec Baldwin. There's Baldwin news and a new show I'm watching. You won't want to miss that. It's Nightlight with Peach Waba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info@WGBW.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo-matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM. Down, down, down. Come on! We get twisted if we go out
before night. We come home while we burn and burn. Well, we are back. Great to have you with me on this snowy Wednesday night, depending on what part of the state you're in. I know other parts did not get hit as well as we did, but be careful out there, folks. It is treacherous. Just stay warm and stay safe. Turning to the text line, our question tonight is, what do you wish you could give up for 40 days? I'm talking about Lent a little bit. It's Ash Wednesday, but I know we all, it's kind of like a mini New Year's resolution. So what do you want to give up, or what do you wish you could give up for 40 days? I've already said I'm not really doing booze anymore. Not really doing carbs. I'm running out of things to give up. So I think what I'll do is just try to be nice to people. That sounds lame, I know, but it takes effort. You know, you have to go out of your way to brighten someone's day. Right, Conrad?
Yeah, I got a recommendation. Just give up movies.
Yeah. I could do that as long as I could watch TV.
Okay.
No, I couldn't do that, obviously. If I didn't have the show, that would be a challenge. That would be an interesting thing for me to sacrifice, because I do love movies. But let me just say, you look very handsome tonight. You got a nice hoodie on and a hat. There we go. I just started my whole 40 days. And all you listeners, you look great. Eric from Lodi says, I suppose I could give up not observing Lent. Hey, Eric, you going to become Catholic? That would be a big commitment. Eric from Lodi in the 608 says, I suppose I could give up not observing Lent. He also says, seriously, I should probably give up nachos for 40 days. Now, do you mean the chips, Eric, or like nachos with all the works on them? Because honestly, I think chips, and let's go to the next text, because Paula, Conrad's mom, is checking in from the 920. She says, I agree with Conrad on giving up the sweets, but also need to include chips. I'll tell you what, Paula, if I could, I would just give up chips forever. They don't have any nutritional value, or very little. They're so addicting. So kind of a theme there. Eric and Paula, both on the give up the chips bandwagon. But sweets are too tough. You're never going to give up sweets. Check back in, Paula. If you're able to do that, I would love to know about it. You too, Con. I don't see it happening.
Okay.
But good luck. Steve in the 920. Says, during the 40 days of Lent, I wish I could give up work, but unfortunately, my boss doesn't agree. How rude. Can you believe that, Pete? I can, Stephen. You know what? All you have to do is become Catholic, and all of a sudden, your boss can't mess with you because of your religious beliefs. Tell him I said so. See where that gets you, Steve. Let's see what happens. All right, so keep those texts coming. What do you wish you could give up for 40 days? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I am watching a new show that I like. It's called Zero Day. It's on Netflix. A lot of people are watching it. I know it's a very popular show right now. Robert De Niro is one of the main actors. Jesse, what the heck is his name? Fergus? No, I got to find this out. Jesse, he's a great actor. I'm totally blanking on his name. But it's a really good show. The grid goes out and there are train crashes. There are traffic lights that don't work. People get in accidents. And I think the president gets a text that says this will happen again. The United States is basically being threatened. Jesse Plemons, I couldn't think of his last name. And Joan Allen is in it too. Matthew Modine, Angela Bassett plays the president. Very good. It is a very good show so far. I'm two episodes in and I definitely want to keep watching. And that's the only barometer I think you can really use. You want to keep watching it. So I'm going to stick with it. I'll probably bang out a couple episodes tonight after I get my work done, and I will keep you guys posted on that. But so far, so good. Check out Zero Day. Robert De Niro plays an ex-president who was a one-termer. He decided not to run again. Sound familiar? There's some Biden stuff there. The new president, played by Angela Bassett, I'm still trying to get a beat on her, but she's good. She's a very good actor. And Jesse Plemons, I like everything, almost everything he is in. He did a season of Fargo several years ago, and he was so good with his wife, Kirsten Dunst. And they were both very good in it, but he's a really solid actor. And he plays the assistant to Robert De Niro, who is living his life post-presidency. But he gets drawn back in to help lead this investigation into who is behind these cyber terror attacks. Check it out if you're looking for something to watch. I recommend it. I saw this too. You heard about what Alec Baldwin did like a couple years ago.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it's like 3 or 4 years now, but I can't even imagine doing something like that, like accidentally killing someone. Even though it's not your fault. I think the armorist was the one who took most of the blame for that. Probably rightfully so. The gun probably shouldn't have been loaded. Alec Baldwin probably should have checked the double check. Maybe he did. I don't know. I cannot imagine living with something like that. You ever accidentally killed someone, Conrad?
No.
Ever do it on purpose?
I can't say that either.
Okay, good for you. Keep on the straight and narrow, young man. His wife, Valeria, said that he has had heart trouble since the accident. He is riddled with guilt, has had hospital stays. And she said all this on their TLC show called The Baldwins. And I think the only thing that could make his condition worse is if he had to actually watch his own show. I'm just guessing, it's got to be horrible. The Sound of Music turns 60 this week. You ever seen that, Conrad?
Honestly, I think I have. I just don't remember it.
Okay. I mean, you know, it's a fun movie. It's one of the highest grossing films of all time. Julie Andrews. Very lovely. I've seen it once. But Christopher Plummer, apparently, who played George Von Trapp, hated it. all through filming, he's calling it boring and trite. Said the story was gooey. And at one point referred to the title as The Sound of Mucus. So I don't know what to make. Like, I feel like, you know, if you're in the acting game and you're fortunate enough to be in huge movies, it's easy for me to say this, but shut your trap.
Yeah.
Do the role. No pun intended. Shut your Von Trapp and do the role and be happy. All right. Chris Foran will be here after the news. Civic Media's news team is chomping at the bit to keep you informed, folks, and tell you what you need to know. They do such a great job of it here at Civic Media. We're coming right back with Chris Foran, and Rich LoCascio joins at 7:20 to talk wrestling. Get your sniglet on. Sniglet? Singlet. What's it called?
Snugget? Snugget?
Sure, snuggles. We'll go with that. The wrestling term. They do a lot of snuggling. Fun night here on Nightlight. Great to have you with me. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network. Someone's living for a little. And I love
them. I love them. From Denmark to DePere, this is 97.9 WGBW. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. An inmate from Dodge County Jail is missing. 30-year-old Alyssa Lehman, whose last address was in Green Bay, left the jail for work release on Tuesday and never returned. Lehman is serving a year in jail for fourth offense OWI. People with information are asked to call the Dodge County Sheriff's Office. Daylight saving time starts this weekend as we spring forward and set clocks ahead 1 hour. That means extra light in the evening, but it also means losing an hour of sleep. Children and teens are especially prone to the health impacts of getting less sleep, according to Dr. Casey Frymiller, a pediatrician with UW Health Kids. Sleep is so important for children because it helps them learn in school, manage their emotions, and have faster response times. Fraymiller suggests families plan ahead this week by adjusting bedtime in 15-minute increments a few days before the time changes. Coming up in the next issue of New Wisco Weekend, we'll discuss the reasoning behind daylight saving time and why we spring ahead every year. Tune in Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 11 on WGBW or check it out through the Civic Media app. Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich awarded four grants to organizations making a difference in the community Tuesday. Encompass Early Education and Care is a child care organization in the area. Legal Action of Wisconsin provides legal services to elderly. Community Services Agency Incorporated provides services to immigrant and refugee populations. And Big Brothers Big Sisters of Northeast Wisconsin provides mental health services to youth. They will all share in over $163,000 in funds distributed yesterday. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A complete unknown drew a complete goose egg at the Oscars despite eight Academy Award nominations. To make matters worse, according to The Hollywood Reporter, the subject of the Bob Dylan biopic, also known as Bob Dylan, was invited to both present and perform at the ceremony, but declined on both fronts. Mick Jagger ended up presenting in his place. At the beginning of the show, host Conan O'Brien joked that Timothy Chalamet learned how to sing so well in preparation for playing Bob Dylan, he almost didn't get the role. Tabloids love their clickbait. After finding out that Mikey Madison won the Oscar for Best Actress as Anora, tabloids made a big stink that Demi Moore gritted her teeth and seemed upset. A closer look at the situation by a lip reader revealed Moore turned to the person next to her and said, "Nice." One clickbait tabloid in particular said later in its article that Moore was very happy for Madison. Now that's journalism. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Snow showers this evening and breezy, then a clearing sky with the wind dying down overnight. A low in the low 20s. For tomorrow, sunshine returns. A high right around 40. On Friday, mid-30s, mostly cloudy, few flurries. Currently, it's 26.
The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me as we find out what happened to USAID with Christina Dry, speechwriter and communications analyst for the agency.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night, a snowy night, at least here in Northeast Wisconsin and Northern Wisconsin. But we'll get through it, folks. We'll talk about some show business, read some texts, let us know what you would give up for 40 days or what you wish you could give up for 40 days. Text me here at 855-752-4842. Let me know what you really wish you could give up. I might change my answer, Conrad, to being nice to people, to giving up chips. How superficial is that?
I think that's a good one.
I could be nice to people, or I could have better abs. That is so this time in history. Joining me now, folks, is one of our favorites. He joins us quite a bit here on Nightlight, and we have a great fun talking about show business. He writes about entertainment for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and his name, you know him as Chris Foran. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing okay, Pete. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you, sir. Great to have you. How are things in beautiful Milwaukee tonight?
We dodged almost all of the snow.
It's unbelievable.
It stuck to some of the grass, and we had a lot of rain. It's now kind of windy, so we will take that. I lived long enough to remember big snowstorms this time of year. I'm happy to not have one.
I know my son is there and said, no, we're not getting it. But you know what? I think the last couple times you guys got hit, and somehow up north we missed it. Every once in a while that happens, but...
Yeah, it looks like the tide has turned. Yeah, the Milwaukee meteorologists refer to it as the Milwaukee donut, where the snow goes around us but doesn't get to us. So,
oh, you guys will get your just desserts if I have anything to say about it.
Well, we are pro donuts, so that works out well.
Milwaukee loves their donuts. Well, great to have you on the show. Hey, I was gonna, we talked about some of the things we talked about, but I saw this on IMDb Pro earlier. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of Beavers.
Yes.
The great little indie film shot in Wisconsin by guys who were originally from Milwaukee, Mike Cheslick mm-hmm. and Ryland Tews, just passed $1 million in theaters. How do you like that?
I think it's great. I feel like it's a story that I have not spent enough time on with the paper, but it's a movie that's sort of ground up, and it's a great example of a movie that people find and embrace, and it is goofy. And it's intentionally goofy, and there's something to be said for that. And everybody made a big deal out of Barbenheimer last year, but this is that same kind of thing. People find it and they connect to it and they come back out to see it again. And that's honestly what probably the movies need more of.
You know, it's interesting. I'm probably doing this strictly off a hunch or whatever, but I feel like people in the indie film world or in the Wisconsin entertainment circles know about it. But I feel like the general public in Wisconsin will still find it. Not that some of them haven't, but I feel like it could do even better, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it would be interesting to see them. Well, I'm not sure it would work. Like see people show it like at free at out at like, you know, those outdoor movie series that communities have and things like that. And some way to get it into the general public. I mean, it's on Amazon Prime or Prime Video. So it's not unfindable. Okay. That's how I watched it. I had actually missed it. Then caught up with Lake Michigan Monster, and you know, so I'm slowly catching up. We have a ton of people making movies in Milwaukee or in Wisconsin that are actually getting streaming distribution. We just don't always know what they are.
Yeah, I loved Lake Michigan Monster too. I think that's the one. It starts off where he's in the water and then he stands up. You think he's scuba diving and he stands up and he's like in 12 inches of water or something like that, close to the shore. But it's just again the same type of. Not a silent comedy. There is a dialogue in that, but a really fun film too, if you can catch up with both of them. So I read your column, I think it came out today, about what's coming out this weekend. Mm-hmm. This is a big weekend for Bong Joon-ho has his new film Mickey 17 coming out.
Yeah.
What are you hearing? It's getting great reviews, but I've read a couple that weren't so great. Have you heard anything? Yeah.
I've heard the same thing you've heard. I haven't seen it. We stopped reviewing movies at the paper a while back. So I rarely go see things in advance because it's like graft for me. But I would guess that the negative reviews, because I'm trying not to read too many of them. I'd read just enough so I can tell people what it's about and then I go see it. Yeah. My sense of it is that people expect it to be like Parasite. And that means they haven't seen The Host or even Snowpiercer. I mean, Snowpiercer, people might know the TV show. The movie's a little different. And The Host is a monster movie that is pretty funny, but has a very social edge to it.
He's kind go ahead.
No, I we'll see. I mean, it doesn't look like they're expecting it to be a huge box office hit, which I think is smart. I think it's the kind of thing where people will respond to it or they won't. And, you know, we'll see. It's got Kenosha's own Mark Ruffalo in it, so it's already a bonus.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. I've never seen Snowpiercer or The Host. But I would think if you saw Parasite, and based on what I've seen from Mickey 17, at least on some of the reviewer sites, like they don't look at all similar.
No. And well, I think Mickey 17 is a little bit structurally wackier. I mean, that Parasite has humor in the front end that you forget when you see the second half of the movie because it's so raw. Horrifying. But but The Host, you know, The Host is about a monster that is generated from toxic waste that's dumped in this big river in Korea and people trying to get away from it. It's like a sea monster movie, but there's lots of humor in it. And Snowpiercer is about a post-apocalyptic civilization where, as far as we know, all of humanity is living on this bullet train that's traveling around the world, and the poor people live in the back and there's people who live in the front, and the poor people try to strike back. Chris Evans is in it, of all people. And the TV series had David Diggs, who's very good in the TV series, but they're a little bit different movies. And he's done the gamut. You know, he's got a noir thriller, Memories of Murder. He's done different things. I think he's a really smart guy. Lots of social commentary in all of his movies. So that's the kind of the common thread. But The Host, I think I had to check it, but I think The Host is streaming. It's worth checking out. I would bet this is in more in that wheelhouse. And Pattinson can be very funny. It's clear from the trailer that both Ruffalo, that all the characters are pretty, you know, over the top. So
yeah,
you never know how that's going. People can respond to that. I mean, that was that whole thing with Poor Things a couple years ago. You know, some people responded to it, some people just did not. So
I thought it was great. I thought, you know, I've seen him in interviews too, like on talk shows. Bong Joon-ho, he's a funny guy. He's got a good sense of humor.
He's a very funny guy.
Yeah, very talented. What about Rule Breakers? That looks really interesting, but I couldn't tell. At first, I read it sounded like kind of read like a documentary, but then I saw it was in wide release, so I looked at it. Well,
it's another one of these inspired by a true story movies about it's about a group of young Afghan women who were recruited to join like a robotics team in Afghanistan at a time when, under the Taliban, it's probably now, when young women are not allowed to use computers, but they're not allowed to go to school. And it's based they say inspired by a true story. It's distributed by the Angel Studios, which does a lot of these inspirational movies. Some of them are more overtly Christian than others. They did that Sound of Freedom movie that was a big hit a couple years ago. And they did the movie about, you know, Cabrini, about the Italian nun who helps the poor in New York. And so I have no idea what to make of it. I've seen the trailer. It looks like a lot of these kinds of, you know, very inspirational sort of movie, but
The other big one opening this weekend in the Lost Lands, at least opening wide, David Bautista and Mila Jovovich, not reviewing particularly well. Have you heard anything about that?
No, and we probably won't. I mean, it's the guy who made it, Paul W.S. Anderson, is the guy who made all the Resident Evil movies.
Yeah.
With Mila Jovovich who's in it. It's, you know, it's one of those movies that sounds like it was kind of created on the front. I haven't seen it, but sort of, hey, we have a George R. R. Martin short story. Let's put this guy who makes post-apocalyptic movies on it and then throw, you know, Dave Bautista in there and see what happens. And,
right.
I mean, I think, you know, sometimes we feel like we're in a post-apocalyptic landscape already. So, you know, why not?
They're all over the place. Even De Niro, we talked about Zero Day, which I'll save for later, but everywhere is post-apocalyptic stuff. Hey, I want to ask you, I saw this is great. You wrote about this too, Chris, an event coming up in Milwaukee. The sport, what was it called? I've lost it here now. I can't find it. I'm sorry. It's a sporting event that has been going on for 84 years. It's at the fairgrounds.
You're talking about the sports show, the journal
sports show. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it used to be a much bigger thing. It would run for a couple of weeks, and back when in the golden age of that sort of thing, and you know, hunting, fishing, they have a big trout pond there, they have lumberjack competitions where they're doing log rolling and stuff like that, a lot of fishing tutorials, lots of outdoor stuff. Okay. Usually hold in it, historically it's advised with the auto show for the worst weekend weather wise of the year usually, but historically people used to come out for it, and they used to have, and I've written stories about this, but they used to have a lot more animals at it, but they got a little dim. We have some pictures in our archives of, you know, a couple of like 10-year-old boys hanging out with a couple of bear cubs, which seems like a really bad idea. But it is very much, for people who go, it's very much a tradition. It's one of those things that has, you know, that kind of seasonal marker for people in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I was just surprised because I was reading this. I had never heard of it. I don't live in Milwaukee, and I never have, but 84 years, that's impressive. So that's,
it goes back to World War II, so yeah.
My guest is Chris Foran. He writes for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, covers entertainment, and we have him on the show quite a bit to talk about all things, not just entertainment, but all things fun. Chris, what is the Shamrock Shuffle? That was in your column recently too.
As a local group called outfit called Swarm that organizes these. They're sort of like organized bar crawls, and you buy a ticket, and you go into a certain neighborhood, a nightlife neighborhood. I think this year they're in Walker's Point and Water Street in Milwaukee, and then you get discounts on stuff, and you know there might be a deal here or there, and when I wrote that, they hadn't sold out. I wouldn't be surprised if they've sold out by now. They're usually very popular here. So
I think it's hilarious. I'm not saying they don't exist outside of Wisconsin, but I feel like a bar crawl is like a sport here in our state.
It's a competitive sport. Yeah. When I was in college, I worked with a guy who did a one person bar crawl. He lived at UWM and he worked at Marquette, and he had a drink at every bar between work and home. I don't know if he ever survived it.
Honestly. He might have a problem. I don't know if that would be.
I think he didn't have a problem. He perfected it. So, but
he just got really good at it. Okay. So we have a kind of a fun thing, Chris. I want to do this with you, and you're a good sport. You said that you would be willing to take an Oscars quiz. Just kind of we'll put a little button on the Oscars. We'll give Chris kind of a fun little quiz about some of the things that happened. It's not going to stump you or anything, but before we get to that, I would love to talk a little bit about TV. You said you're watching Zero Day. How are you liking Zero Day so far?
I've actually watched the whole thing. I didn't love it.
Okay.
I am a big, put this friend, I am a big 70s conspiracy movie fan. Parallax View, 3 Days of the Condor. I love that stuff. One of my favorite of the Marvel movies is the Captain America, the Winter Soldier, because it feels exactly like that. You know, wait a minute, somebody in charge is involved in this.
Right.
And the twists are okay. They're a little, I was surprised by the number of them that weren't clean, you know, tied up. Very old school about that kind of thing.
Right.
Performances are fine. I mean, Lizzie Kaplan plays De Niro's daughter. She's a congressman. He's a former president, and they don't agree on anything. And everybody has so many secrets, you know.
Right.
It's kind of depressing, striking, and you know, it's like, you know, one of the recurring themes in the movie is that they can't get anything done in government. Like, they haven't passed a bill in 18 months. And it's like, I know why they can't pass a bill, because they've all got all these secrets they're trying to keep secret, you know. So
it's just a whole big cover up. Well, now I'm not as excited to keep going, but I will going with it.
The best thing about I will watch anything that's six episodes. I can sit through that.
Yeah, no kidding. Chris Foran is here. We'll have more with Chris after a very short break here on Nightlight with P. Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people.
Anti-authoritarian feelings ran high in the years before and after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, as the Declaration's litany of complaints against the king suggests. So it's unlikely the Founding Fathers would have supported expansion of presidential powers and absolute immunity for official acts. The July 1st opinion from the so-called originalist members of the U.S. Supreme Court invokes Alexander Hamilton's Federalist Papers vision for a vigorous and energetic executive. Without that, quote, the president would be chilled from taking the bold and unhesitating action required of an independent executive. But that's not the whole story. Three other prominent framers of the U.S. Constitution, James Madison, Benjamin Franklin, and George Mason, feared the opposite and pushed for a multi-person executive council to decentralize power. Ultimately, they compromised, stipulating that the president should seek advice and consent from the Senate for appointments and treaties. Constitutional Convention delegate James Wilson said during debates on the Constitution, "Sir, we have a responsibility in the person of our president. He cannot act improperly and hide either his negligence or inattention. He cannot roll upon any other person the weight of his criminality." He continued, "Far from being above the laws, he is amenable to them in his private character as a citizen and in his public character by impeachment." We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Hey, this is Adam Brody, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Gonna be some sweet sounds coming down.
I got a text on the stream from someone named Scratch Dumont. Even if that's an alias, it's awesome. He says, "Your show is great. I am no longer Catholic, but I do give up something for Lent every year. Each year I give up clean language, and I must say that by Holy Saturday, I'm feeling really cleansed." I would imagine a guy named Scratch Dumont has some serious skeletons in the closet, and language would probably be the worst of your concerns, but that's awesome. Thank you for the text, Scratch. That's our question tonight. What do you wish you could give up for 40 days in honor of Ash Wednesday? Let us know. We've got some more text to get to. We'll do that shortly. Right now, we are talking with our friend Chris Foran, who writes for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, covers entertainment for the paper, and does absolutely fine work. Always fun having Chris on the show. Chris, as you mentioned earlier, as I mentioned to you, I put together a little Oscars quiz that I thought we could have some fun with. The answers are not that difficult. You're a pretty informed guy. I'm not trying to embarrass you here. I'm not going to bring up your childhood or anything personal, but I just thought maybe, obviously, that's a good thing now based on your reaction, but these are just questions I put together. So if you're game, let's do it.
Go for it.
All right, Conrad, you get the bell ready?
Oh boy, a bell.
There's a bell, Chris. We have all the high-tech stuff here.
I'm impressed.
Conrad stole that from a Days Inn check-in counter, so we have that ready to go. All right, Chris Foran taking the Oscar wrap-up quiz. What Oscar winner almost broke the record for longest acceptance speech?
Almost broke the winner?
Broke the record.
I thought Adrian Brody broke the record.
He apparently, I'm told, he missed it by 1 second.
Is the correct answer then? That would be the correct answer. But they say that Greer Garson had the longest one.
Oh, is who is it?
Greer Garson, is that supposed to be the longest one?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know who had it. I just know, or I was told that Adrian Brody came with
the one. There is a legend that when Greer Garson won it for Mrs. Miniver, that she spoke forever. It became a standard joke on the Oscars forever and 1943, but there's no recording of it.
Oh,
so nobody knows how long it actually went. So.
I wonder, do you think it meandered like Adrian Brody's did? I guess we'll never know.
What I've read about it is that you just kept talking and in those days it was kind of a dinner. It wasn't, a big thing like it is now. I mean, it wasn't that way until television. I mean, they used to do it. In fact, during World War II, they even toned it down a little because they didn't want it to seem too showy.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to give you that one. You got it right, obviously. The question was not, thank you for holding off, Conrad, until you got confirmation. We consider ourselves journalists here too, Chris, believe it or not. Okay. What comedian actor surprised everyone by showing up wearing a hoodie?
That'd be your Adam Sandler.
Conrad knows that one. Conrad knows all things Adam Sandler. He is he's as much into Adam Sandler as he was the Hawktua girl, but Adam Sandler never tried a pyramid scheme, so he still follows Adam Sandler.
Probably for the best.
Probably for the best, exactly. What two Best Picture nominees, despite multiple nominations, went home empty-handed?
Which two? Well, Complete Unknown was 0 for 8, I believe. And,
correct.
The other one, Nickel Boys?
Very well done, Mr. Foreign. Outstanding.
I actually thought there was one more, but I couldn't remember. That one of those that it is interesting how even though there was one that was a big winner in Nora, they did kind of share the love. So it's spread the love around.
So. Yeah, I would say so too. I didn't know that actually when I was looking up questions for this quiz. I knew that A Complete Unknown had been shut out. I did not realize Nickel Boys had been shut out too. So I believe there are only two. But all right, we will keep going. Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel joins us. He is 3 for 3 on tonight's Oscars quiz. He is crushing it, ladies and gentlemen. Number 4, what director was the first person to win 4 Oscars from the same movie?
I believe that would be Sean Baker.
Correct. I figured you would get that after what we just said. But what I didn't know, Chris, this was interesting. I was surprised. I didn't know that hadn't been done before. 4 Oscars from the same film. Very impressive. But apparently, he tied Walt Disney for the most Oscars in one night. That's incredible.
Which is sort of deceptive because that comes from a time when the head of the studio would get the... Walt Disney put his name on everything. So
okay.
It's so kind of deceptive.
What I'm hearing is Sean Baker deserved them a little more.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is an easy one for you, Chris. I'm throwing you a softball here.
That means I'll miss it.
Yeah, this will be the one you don't get. What actor showed up wearing a ridiculous yellow suit?
I heard you the other night. I know you feel ridiculous about it. You'd be talking about Timothy Chalamet there.
Correct. Yeah, I know. Listen, I lived out there for so long and I have so many friends that are in the business and I don't mind someone trying to stand out a little bit, but what is he doing? Like, he's one of the best actors of his time. He's dating a Kardashian. He could not have a higher profile and he shows up looking like the character from...
Maybe he was just trying to get people to take away attention from his mustache.
Or lack thereof, yeah.
He has a pretty bad mustache.
It's a pretty bad mustache. I think he likes that though. I think he wants that to be weird.
Yes.
What actor had his acceptance speech censored?
Kieran Culkin.
Oh my gosh. 6 for 6, buddy. Chris Foran, ladies and gentlemen, just crushed our Oscars quiz.
It almost makes me feel better about the two. We had an office thing where I took part in and I did the ABC one and I was 14-9 and 10-13. So this is better. I'm doing better here.
All right. Well, we're here to help.
Well, if you guess wrong on a couple of things, suddenly you're in a,
We got to do a real quick break. Can we keep you for a few minutes, Chris?
Sure.
All right. We'll be coming right back after the news. More with Chris Foran on Nightlight.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Time to spring ahead. Why does daylight saving time exist? I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Jerry Barr. Good time for a nap. One expert weighs in on the next new WISCO weekend.
Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WISS and WGBW.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers,
to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A better day on Wall Street after President Trump said automakers would get a one-month reprieve from the tariffs he's imposed on Canada and Mexico. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze.
Nice to talk about a little bit of green on that Dow board versus the red that we've been talking about the past 2 days. And it does tell the story of exactly how closely traders in the stock market are following each and every development on this trade war right now, including that exemption that was issued midday today by the White House.
Cuts coming to the VA. Secretary of Veterans Affairs Doug Collins says the agency's planning to cut 15% of its workforce, some 72,000 government employees, in conjunction with Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. Top Trump officials, including Vice President J.D. Vance, visiting the southern border, taking an aerial tour, and today visiting an immigration detention facility before holding a border roundtable with local and national participants. This is ABC News.